These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs, crack on.
On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
This week on the Indo Daily.
I actually don't believe, right, that priests said or have any harm. He just, like, thought I knew. But that's how I found out Miriam Martina was dead.
How likely is it that Trump will be found guilty of paying hush money to former adult film star Stormy Daniels?
We're talking about involvement in serious drugs activity on both sides of the border, and as well as that, the procurement of weapons.
Find and follow us at all the usual spots, and over on the Irish Independent website.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Left Wing. Well, Andy Farrell has named a 34-man squad for the upcoming Six Nations, and Peter O'Mahony is the new Ireland captain. Who's in, who lost out? We go through it all here. Well, Rory O'Connor and Cian Tracy are here with me. Rory, there was plenty of debate around who will take over from Johnny Sexton as captain, the likes of Caelan Doris and Gary Ringrose among those mentioned. But Andy Farrell has gone for Peter O'Mahony, and as the headline went for your piece today, this was the obvious choice that was staring us all in the face.
You know, coming away from the World Cup, he was the player that I would have tipped for the role at that time. And when he stepped down as Munster captain somewhat suddenly, was it 2 months ago now, it almost seemed like he was clearing the decks for it. But then all these murmurs have been coming out about his contract ever since, which I think has undermined everyone's confidence in that sense that we had that, you know, if you look at Ireland's, you know, the run of Ireland captains. There's only been six since the year 2000 when Keith Wood took over. You know, it's not a role that's passed around lightly. And O'Mahony was the next kind of most experienced senior leader. And I know he toyed with the idea of dangled the idea of international retirement after the World Cup quarterfinal in the mix zone. I never thought he was going to step away lightly. And it's no surprise to me that he got the gig. The only thing that's been surprising is the kind of, yeah, the whispers or whatever about his contract that are, you know, it seems strange that he will be the Ireland captain, and yet there'll be so much uncertainty about his future. But in terms of a captain, I covered the 2013 tour of North America when he was picked as captain as a 22, 23 year old back then. You know, he's done the job 10 times. He's always been, you know, Sexton was always a leader in the camp before he was given the role. And it's the same in O'Mahony. Like, everyone knows he's a senior figure within there. He would have been a trusted member of Sexton's leadership group, someone that Sexton leaned on. He knows what the role entails, and I think he'll be a good captain. You know, it's I think the questions over it are how long he'll do it for. Will he be around at the next World Cup? Does that matter? Is it, you know, is Andy Farrell right? The 4-year cycles don't matter. And also, can they get his contract sorted so that, you know, that he will be available next year as well? Because, you know, he's being linked to moves to France. That's happened before. I'm not entirely convinced that that's going to happen. I think they'll sort it out, but it's just strange to have that little bit of uncertainty around it. But in terms of the choice, he seems, you know, I think it's right that a player of his caliber, his leadership ability, will captain Ireland for a period.
Like, there were other contenders, but I think Andy Farrell Rudd has touched on it there, probably dropped a couple of hints at the Guinness Rugby Writers Awards last week when he said that he hated the kind of term 4-year cycles. And I thought, you know, I made this point on the podcast yesterday with Will and Luke that I thought it was very interesting that he said that the slate wasn't going to be wiped clean for the Six Nations, that it was going to be a continuation of everything that's gone on in the past. So when you consider that, I think Peter O'Mahony, you know, Rudd's right, was the obvious candidate. I think you'll find that most people in the squad wouldn't have any issue with it at all. He was a bit of a de facto captain for the last few years as well. Even you know, everything that year when he came back from Munster last week, even behind the scenes, that he was doing a lot of the leadership and things like that. So I think it makes sense. It's an absolutely huge honour. Obviously, I think he said it was the proudest moment of his life. Unfortunately, we didn't have a press conference today. We didn't get a chance to speak to him or Andy Farrell, kind of just going off a press release. But it's an unusual situation in that there is so much uncertainty around him. But I think, you know, if you'd hope that he gets his contract signed and he gets paid, you know, what he's worth. And if that all happens, he'd probably owe Andy Farrell a pint, because it would be like, it's hard to imagine an Ireland captain for this year's Six Nations not playing in the country, even for the summer tour, because his contract's obviously expiring in the summer. It's very hard to imagine that Peter O'Mahony won't be in Munster. It's just about, I suppose, getting the finger out now, whoever that needs to be, to pay him what is worth, because you just cannot allow the current Ireland captain to leave at the end of the season. So this has probably come at a very good time for him, albeit it is probably stressful enough, you know, trying to negotiate different contracts and things like that. But this is massive for him, I think, from a personal point of view, but also going forward as well.
Yeah, so hopefully O'Mahony's future will be decided sooner rather than later. So he's captained Ireland 10 times. It said in the RFU statement that he will lead the squad into the championship. But Rory, is it there for him to lead for a lot longer?
Yeah, I think even when Sexton was captain, it was on a kind of a tournament by tournament basis. And that's the way Farrell's always run it. But you kind of, as long as he was fit and playing well, he held that role, and it wasn't going to be taken away from him. You know, if you look at Best, even Paul O'Connell and Sexton were all in their mid-30s. They're all fathers when they took over as captains. They're all senior figures. It's kind of almost a profile now of what Ireland want from their captain. They were all heading towards 100 caps. O'Mahony's a centurion already. So there's kind of a profile there. And he's 34. He'll be 38 at the next World Cup. You know, all he has to do is point at the South Africa back row that won the World Cup. They had two 37-year-olds in the starting team in the back row. So it's not as if there's no precedent there for players getting there. I guess what it does open up is the fear that, like maybe Best and less so Sexton, that he'll be past his best when the tournament arrives, and Ireland will be wedded to a player who maybe isn't the best player in his position. And two of the best young players in Ireland at the moment are playing at number six in tight. Thomas Ahern and Ryan Baird, but Baird's in the squad. Thomas Ahern is a training panelist, which is a new horrible phrase for the rugby lexicon of jargon that we can now adopt and use as we go on. But O'Mahony has to battle for his place. Like, he wasn't always first choice in the last World Cup cycle. Even, you know, he had to come back and win that spot back. You know, he's got Jack Conan as a rival because, you know, Caelan Doris is nailed on at number eight. They could move Tadhg Byrne there with the emergence of Joe McCarthy. So I suppose naming him window by window challenges him to be the form player in his position. But as a squad captain, I think he sets a very good tone. And Farrell has left, I suppose, the door open to, you know, the idea that it doesn't have to be O'Mahony in South Africa this summer, that it doesn't have to be O'Mahony next November, that there's a chance for someone else to come in and learn underneath him and take over if O'Mahony's injured, which obviously, you know, a back row forward, there's a high risk of that. He's a very, very good record over the last couple of years, O'Mahony, but, you know, a back row in such an attritional position, the way he plays, there's always a risk that he might miss a window, miss a couple of games. But considering how open this process seemed, there is a couple of players there that he could quite comfortably go to.
So no new caps in the 34-man squad. Ollie Yeager, Tom Ahern, as you mentioned, and Sam Prendergast will train with the squad. Keane, many would have put Ahern in the squad itself. Simon Zeebo has been talked about as a possible inclusion with his form of late. No John Hodnett or Gavin Coombs or Keane Prendergast. What stands out to you about who hasn't been selected?
I was surprised that there was no new captionate when the press release first dropped. I mean, post-World Cup, you're always kind of expecting it to be, you know, a fresh cycle and things like that. And I think you've hit the nail on the head with Tom Ahern there. I mean, it's good to see him included in some form, but I think he's fully justified to feel pretty disappointed that he's not in the full squad given his form with Munster. But I was just like, as you kind of dig a little deeper into the squad, it is kind of worth pointing out, and I'm sure Andy Farrell would do this, that there are several players with only a couple of caps. Like Calvin Nash only has one cap, Kieran Frawley only has one cap, Harry Byrne only has 2 caps. Tom Stewart only has 2, and Nick Timoney only has 3. So they're 5 pretty inexperienced guys, you know. So I think the immediate thing when Ireland squads get named is to kind of, you know, jump up and down and go mad about who's not there. And I think, you know, like I said, Tom O'Hearn can feel pretty annoyed. I think I was very surprised, I have to say, not to see Cian Prendergast in the squad. Like, he's a guy who just missed out on World Cup selection. He was kept in until the very end ahead of guys like Gavin Coombs last summer before Ireland went to France. And look, I know Connacht haven't been tearing up trees this season, but I've seen all of their games, actually. I think Cian Prendergast has been comfortably their best player. So I think that's really disappointing. Obviously, then he misses out on the chance to get to train with his younger brother, Sam, for the first time, because he's going to be part of the squad that's going to Portugal next week. So perhaps he's paying the price for Connacht's kind of hit and miss form. But individually, I think he's been pretty good. Other guys, like you mentioned, Simon Zeebo. Look, I think it was always going to be a bit of a tough ask, considering Andy Farrell hadn't selected him in a squad up to now. But I mean, if he continues building on the form that he's done over the last few weeks, then there's nothing to say that he couldn't get a call, particularly because, I mean, I feel like we're going to have the same conversation again here. When you look at the squad, there's no like-for-like replacement for Hugo Keenan in it, particularly now with Mac Hansen and Jimmy O'Brien injured. So if Hugo Keenan, touch wood, was to go down, then you'd surely imagine that Simon Zeebo wouldn't be far away from getting a call, considering he is Munster's starting fullback at the moment. I think other guys like Gavin Coombs, I think his form has just been too inconsistent. John Hodnett is very unlucky as well, particularly not to get into the training panelists. Guy like Robert Balakoon, again, I don't think his form has been good enough really to warrant a place in the squad. I think the guys who have got in there, your Jordan Larmers, your Calvin Nash, Jacob Stockdale, have been playing better. So all in all, Sinead, I think it's a good squad. I think there's plenty to be excited about, albeit maybe a little surprised not to see one or two more uncapped players in there.
Yeah, like, I think it's a bit ridiculous that Andy Farrell doesn't do a press conference, really, about these things, that, you know, that me, Keane, and other people like us are all speculating about this, when it wouldn't have, you know, taken much effort for him to actually come up in front of the media and do a couple of interviews and answer these questions himself. You know, every other coach in the Six Nations has done a press conference to explain their decisions, some of which are quite strange. Like, Gregor Townsend didn't name a captain in his squad, so we don't know who's going to turn up in Dublin next week. Obviously, Warren Gatland had to talk about Luis Rhys-Amos pulling out to go and play NFL, but at least they turned up and talked about it. And it's just it leaves a bit of a hole in squad announcement day, which should be, you know, a real big day in the RFU's calendar. So it's disappointing that we don't actually get to hear from the coach, apart from like a, you know, 2-paragraph press release quote that really doesn't give us anything in terms of why he's gone for these decisions. It doesn't, the squad itself, you know, it's continuity, isn't it? It's basically a continuation of where we left off in France. Even it's a small squad, you know, like his last Six Nations squad, I believe, was 38 players. And I know the 3 training panelists will bring it up to 37, but it's very tight. He hasn't kind of got any kind of players in there that he obviously doesn't think will be central to training. And like, if he'd added 2 or 3, he probably would have done himself a bit of favour in the PR stakes. Because if he brought in a John Hodden and a Simon Zeebo, we would have had very little to talk about today. So I think Zeebo's very hard done by. I think he's in very good form. He brings something different to what Ireland have. I don't see a natural successor to Hugo Keenan if he did go down in training in the first couple of days. I don't see Kieran Frawley as a fullback myself, and you know, maybe Jacob Stockdale, who played there in the early stages of Farrell's regime. So that's maybe Ireland a little bit light in one position, but at the same time, all these players live in Ireland. They're only within a couple of hours of Carton House, so if someone goes down, they can be called in pretty quickly. But you know, John Hodden, you're looking at maybe him over Nick Timoney, but Timoney's been going well. You know, Tom O'Hearn, he's in great form, but is he ahead of Ryan Bird and Peter O'Mahony, the new captain? Possibly not. Even Jack Conan and Ty Byrne can both go into that 6th slot. He's very, very good at the moment. And I think there's a whole generation of young players who are very, very good. But this Ireland squad are operating at such a level, or have been for the last 2 years, it's really hard to displace the players that are there already. Maybe there was a chance to have a bit of refreshing and renewing it, you know, a bit of that sense. But, you know, even if you think about Jack Crowley, what will it do for his confidence to be surrounded by 14 established Ireland internationals on the opening night? And I think we have to also remember what we're picking a squad for here. It's away to France on a Friday night in Marseille on the opening night. There's no real room. There's no real wiggle room at all for Andy Farrell. He has to perform. It's almost like an extension of the World Cup. It's such a big fixture, such a unique fixture. And I think the experience that he's lent into speaks volumes about that.
Yeah, Rory, and what about the out halves? I mean, you mentioned Jack Crowley there. Obviously, Harry Byrne is in there. He had that ankle injury that ruled him out of Leinster's game last weekend. He's in there. Kieran Foley, as you mentioned, he took off with an injury as well, but he looks okay. So from what you see there, is it looking like Foley would be the backup on the bench?
I think if we look at the way that Andy Farrell selected Jack Crowley ahead of Ross Byrne at the World Cup, even though Ross Byrne had guided the team home in four of the Grand Slam winning games, the fact that Frawley, like Crowley, can cover a multitude of positions, so it gives them the edge in that backup slot. And I don't think there's a lot to choose from between Harry Byrne and Kieran Frawley in terms of their ability at number 10. But we've seen Frawley do really well at centre. We've seen him play proficiently at fullback. I don't think he's an international 15, but even just the fact that he can do that job, if they need to move things around in the back three, gives them that comfort. So, like, I think Ross Byrne will be in the squad and on the bench if he was fit. I think his experience, his know-how, the way he played for Ireland last year, he was up, you know, higher up the pecking order. But
do we know when he'll be back, actually? Do we know when Ross will be back?
I think mid to late Six Nations, probably, but okay, certainly not imminently. So, and he hasn't played since that Munster game when he got injured in that tackle down in the corner at the Aviva Stadium. So there's, like, it's such an interesting time. You've got, you know, three such inexperienced out halves taking over. It's like, you know, life after Johnny Sexton begins with incredible inexperience. You know, Crowley's a shoe-in for that number 10 slot. Yeah. Friday fortnight. He has been very, very good. Not perfect, as Graham Rowntree said, after Toulon, but even the way he delivered those two cross kicks for the tries at the weekend, the experience he's got, the calmness that he brings to it, he's quite far ahead of the other two. And what an experience for Sam Prendergast to come in, you know, a year after leading the under-20s to the Grand Slam in the same tournament, he gets an opportunity. You know, I would imagine he'll go back to Leinster then when the URC kicks back in, so he can kind of lead Leinster through a couple of weeks of URC action and gain really good experience there. I don't think he's ready for international rugby just yet, but he's only an injury or two away from being catapulted in. So I don't think there's anyone else who has really a case to be included. Like Billy Burns, no, I don't see it. Jack Carty and JJ Hanneman, I think, are still quite far away from it at the moment. You know, Jake Flannery, you know, has he done more than the two players who were included? I know it's two Leinster players and people will see that as a bit of a kick in the teeth for those who are starting for other provinces. But really, it's very hard to make an argument for anyone else. I know Joey Carberry's fit again, but I know Farrell doesn't work in World Cup cycles, but it would be kind of weird to pick him given that he's off to France at the end of this season. So, they're sensible enough calls, but it's quite callow, and it's a risk area going into the tournament, no doubt.
Yeah. Keane, what about the back three then? Obviously Mac Hansen, Jimmy O'Brien out injured, Keith Earls retired, so we've got James Lowe, Hugo Keenan, Calvin Nash, Jordan Larmour, Jacob Stockdale, as mentioned. Rory probably put Gary Ringrose in there in on the wing to start against France. But Keane, Calvin Nash, I think he's the man to come in there. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, Sinead. I was writing about it yesterday. Look, I can understand the thinking behind potentially putting Gary Ringrose there. You want to get your best players on the pitch. Rudd has already highlighted, I mean, the scale of the task that lies ahead on Friday fortnight going to France. And because it's France first up, that's going to set the tone for what's to come in the rest of the Six Nations. So while I can understand the logic behind it, and Ringrose clearly trains there a good bit, it is a kind of emergency option. And for me, in a Six Nations game, first up, I would like to see Farrell back, like, form and back an out-and-out winger. And okay, there isn't a like-for-like replacement for Mac Hansen in terms of what he brings you both on and off the pitch. But if you look at how well Calvin Nash has played, and also how quickly he's adapted to the attacking framework that Mike Prendergast has brought in since he arrived last year, it is very much aligned with how Ireland play. Whereas previously under Johan van Grand, the wingers were just being used to chase box kicks. And how was a young guy ever going to force his way into an Ireland squad when it just simply didn't match up to the way Ireland were playing. So I think guys like Calvin Nash and Zeebo and Shane Daly, who's probably another slightly unlucky to miss out, they feel like because they're playing within a Munster system that's more aligned, they have more of a reasonable shout to make squads. And in Calvin Nash's case, I think he's got a very good chance of starting in France. Now, a lot will depend on how he trains and how he is around the environment. I thought he had a very good game again in Toulon last weekend. He had a bit of a defensive blip against Exeter before Christmas, but by and large, he's been very good. And the thing about it is, like, if you imagine what the French back three is going to be, or even the wingers, it's going to be Damien Penault and Louis Barré-Barré, and the pace that they have out wide. And Gary Ringrose is no slouch, don't get me wrong, but I think you want an out-and-out winger to go up against the quality that they have. And look, we're not talking about, I know it's a really important game, but we're not talking about a World Cup quarterfinal. Why not back a guy who has been playing in that position again in a system that's very similar to what Ireland playing? So why not back Calvin Nash? Now, it's another big game for him this weekend against Northampton. I mean, Northampton are coming to Thomond Park with plenty of young England hopefuls as well. And I just think if he goes well, not just in attack, but is defensively sound. Like, I mean, you saw how well he did for his try last weekend by taking Craig Casey's inch perfect box kick. I think if he delivers another assured performance, then he's got to be the one leading the race to start in France in a couple of weeks.
Where are you on that now, Rory?
I'm not convinced. I can see what Calvin Nash does. I like a lot of it. I know he was in the squad and they liked him before the Six Nations, and he got his cap. Sorry, not before the World Cup, and he got his cap before the World Cup. But you know, he didn't make the grade over there. I would probably have more comfort if Jordan Larmour got the nod. He's got a lot more experience. I thought he was really, really sharp at the Aviva against a much lower caliber of opposition. Just as one moment, and maybe this is particularly harsh, but you know, Calvin Nash got the ball on the wing against Toulon, right down in front of where I was sitting in the stadium, and he was faced up with Danny Priso, who's a loose head prop. Now, he's a good loose head prop. He's a very athletic loose head prop. But rather than back himself to go outside the loose head prop, he cut inside, and he tends to cut inside with ball in hand and look for the comfort of support rather than really back himself. And Larmour has probably been guilty of that sometimes in the last couple of years, and not kind of being the fearless attacking player that he was when he first broke onto the scene. But I thought there were signs against that of confidence, of that belief that maybe like Jordan Larmour has been lacking for the last couple of years coming back. Personally, I would go for Ringrose. I think in this fixture, given what France bring, he's such an incredible defensive leader. It means you can pick Henshaw and Aki. You can match up to that French midfield of Dante and Ficou. You know, I think that's a sensible call. It's a percentage call. Maybe it's a conservative call, and that's a fair enough criticism of that decision. But that's what I would go with. And I think Larmour is ahead of, in my mind, of where Nash is, but not by a whole lot. And they're both good options. But the fall off, I think, from Mac Hansen to all three of those players right now is quite significant, and something that Ireland are going to have to try and account for, because Hansen's become such an integral member of that Ireland attack and defence in the last year and a half that he'll be really missed at Marseille.
So lads, now that we know the squad, obviously, you know, the right wing, you know, Jack Crowley will start it out half. What are the other areas? We know Peter Mahoney is going to captain the side, so maybe that space is taken up. Now that we know the squad, like, there is definitely a sense of continuity there. So will we see, you know, many changes when that team is selected to play France?
I think the right wing spot is obviously the hottest topic at the moment. And actually, you know, you mentioned the back row there, Sinead. I think another person worth mentioning who we haven't mentioned yet is Will Connors. I mean, his performance in that La Rochelle game, you were thinking, wow, this is going to put him right back into the Ireland frame. But he obviously just hasn't been able to kick on or feature really since. So that's disappointing because we know how much Andy Farrell likes him as well. I think the only other big question maybe is in the second row, but I think when it comes down to it, Andy Farrell will probably go with James Ryan and Tadhg Byrne. But like, you've got Joe McCarthy, who's arguably been the form Irish player this season, and Ian Henderson is in the mix as well. Pretty unlucky, you'd have to say, to miss out on the captaincy, and he obviously took James Ryan's spot at the World Cup. So other than those couple of positions, I think you, injury permitting, fitness permitting, I think you could almost pick the team now, which again, some people, you know, might be disappointed with that because they want to see wholesale changes. But as Farrell said to us last week when he was delivering his speech, there's a very strong body of work to build on here. So there's no sense of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. This is about building on what they've done over the last few years. It might be a new era without the likes of Johnny Sexton and Keith Earls, but there's such strong foundations laid there that it would be foolish to just rip everything up and start again. And as Andy Farrell said, you kind of need to get rid of the 4-year World Cup cycle. It can be broken down into much shorter periods, which I think he's done by the fact that he's named Peter O'Mahony as captain. So I think the team will be pretty settled, Sinead. You'll have a big change, obviously, at 10, but a settled team, a largely settled team going to France, I don't think is any bad thing. And let's not forget either that Ireland are going there as Grand Slam champions.
Yeah. Do you think Big Joe has done enough to get into that second row, Rory?
I think he starts, yeah. I think he's quickly become the best second row in Ireland and basically can be the cornerstone of Ireland's pack for the next 10 years if he stays fit and available. And it's, to me, it's a case of, it might not be for Marseille, but by the end of the tournament, by the time we go to South Africa next summer, I think he'll be a very, very important starting player for Ireland. And it'll be a matter of who you put alongside him. And that counted against, I think, James Ryan and Ian Henderson, because we're not quite sure of their places, because, you know, Ty Byrne is an excellent player. There is that capacity to maybe do what they did against Romania at the World Cup and shift Peter O'Mahony into seven. Like Josh van der Vleer, he's coming back to form, but he has been left out of big games for Leinster, you know, in recent times. So there, and his form at the World Cup probably wasn't where it had been in that World Player of the Year campaign. So there's options there for Andy Farrell across a campaign. But I think, you know, we can see it may not be kind of the big change into the squad, but I think as he evolves this team and, you know, slowly moves them on from the World Cup, I think the presence of, say, a Joe McCarthy and a Ryan Baird in the next while, who are probably the two form players in Leinster, can just freshen things up a little. You know, 4 years ago we gave Caelan Doris his debut in the first game of the Six Nations. Ronan Keller was on the bench and they were still there at the end of the cycle. So I think he will slowly make changes, and McCarthy is one of those. And Craig Casey could supplant Conor Murray on the bench as well. I think his form and the way he played in Toulon was just exceptional. It was probably the best performance I've ever seen from him. He's been in that squad for an awful long time. Tom O'Toole maybe could put pressure on Finlay Beelam. Like, we're talking about bench spots, but those players have been kind of those apprentices for the last 3 or 4 years. It's kind of time for them to come on and kick the door down and take some spots. So there might be a little bit of change, very subtle change, as we move on from France, but it's going to feel like a World Cup game that opening night at 9 o'clock in Marseille. And I think it's going to look a little bit like a World Cup game as well, just missing Johnny Sexton as a central figure.
Yeah, just Johnny Sexton as a central figure. Yeah, well, we look forward to it. Rory and Keane, thank you very much for that. We will be back with another podcast on Friday after all the teams are named for the final round of pool games in the Champions Cup. That's it for now. Thanks for listening.